Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
Secretary Lloyd Austin, traveling in Japan, had a similar sentiment. The U.S. priority in Syria, preventing bad actors from filling the power vacuum.
Such as ISIS could try to take advantage of this opportunity and regain capability.
The opportunity arose with the collapse of President Bashar Assad's government. He left Syria and headed to Russia, which says it's granted him political asylum. Tulsi Gabbard, President-elect Trump's choice for director of national intelligence, has been criticized for supporting the Assad regime. She's due to begin meeting with lawmakers on Capitol Hill today. She's seeking Senate confirmation. And Jay-Z's been added to an existing civil lawsuit against Sean Diddy Combs. He's accused of sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl in 2000. He's denied the allegations. This is ABC News. The search for clues leading to the unknown killer of the UnitedHealthcare CEO continued over the weekend in New York City.
Authorities still have not found or named him, but they believe the suspect escaped by bus about 45 minutes after UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson was gunned down. Police searching in Central Park for a second day, divers scouring the water for evidence, including the distinctive murder weapon and the bicycle the suspect was seen pedaling away from the crime scene. The pond is close to the spot where police found what they believe is the suspect's backpack. Sources tell ABC News it contained a jacket and Monopoly money. Detectives are trying to determine if the play money was meant as some sort of statement.
To ABC's Eric Katursky, a lot of money spent on a pair of iconic ruby red slippers worn by Judy Garland in 1939's Wizard of Oz. They sold for $28 million at an auction over the weekend. And this morning, Golden Globes nominations will be announced. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Attention. If you suffer from consistent pain in your joints caused by arthritis, overuse, or injury, you may be a candidate for a revolutionary therapy that could revitalize damaged tissue. This approach can provide long-lasting relief from pain in your knees, shoulders, hips, and other joints with no surgery, no drugs, and no downtime. To find out if you're a viable candidate, you may request a free consultation from QC Kinetics by calling 608-384-0897. Instead of masking the symptoms, it goes to the root of the problem to resolve it at its source. Already used by thousands of satisfied patients nationwide, this joint pain therapy is available right now to the public, but only for qualified candidates. Again, to find out if you're a viable candidate for this therapy, you may request a free consultation by calling QC Kinetics at 608-384-0897. That's 608-384-0897.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Brace yourself for a new Hollywood reboot, folks. Scrubs ran for 7 seasons from 2001 to 2008 on NBC and then 2 seasons on ABC. The original executive producer and showrunner, Bill Lawrence, will also commandeer the reboot, but as of right now, there is no cast yet attached. Maybe they should cast those two guys from the T-Mobile commercials. Looking for a good murder mystery? You might want to check out the show Cross. Cross is based on the best-selling Alex Cross novels by James Patterson and is quickly gaining viewers. The show logged 40 million views in its first 20 days of release, making it the 6th most viewed show ever on Amazon Prime. Aldous Hodge plays the brilliant Alex Cross, a detective and forensic psychologist who pursues serial killers. Season 1 is currently available to stream. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks beat Brooklyn. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks picked up a win, beating the Brooklyn Nets at the Barclays Center, 118-113. After the game, Doc Rivers agreed his team got off to a slow start.
You know, it's funny. It felt like we played awful offense. We were shooting 57% at halftime, but we turned the ball over and gave up offensive rebounds, and they had a 10-shot shot cushion on us. Now, in the second half, we got to the foul line a lot, so it looked worse, but we only took 68 shots tonight, which is unheard of in a basketball game.
The Bucks host the Orlando Magic in an NBA Cup quarterfinal tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum. Baseball, Willy Adames agreeing to a 7-year contract with the San Francisco Giants over the weekend worth $182 million, the largest deal in that team's history. The 29-year-old shortstop played 4 years for the Brewers. NFL, Packers back at work in meetings and getting ready for a road trip to Seattle to play the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy today, becoming breezy by later this afternoon. Our high in the mid to upper 40s with winds southwest at 5 to 15, 15 to 25 here by this afternoon. Tonight, 26. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and colder, 30. On Wednesday, some light snow with a high of only 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend, update you on the news, and get you into the holiday season as we prepare to travel to Seattle. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Where it's at, 92.7 FM, WMDX,
good
Johnny
morning.
Gordy thing,
yeah,
it's happening.
Happy Monday.
It is?
Yeah.
All right, that's nice to
Weekend
know.
Weekend was just long enough.
Yeah.
I couldn't have standed it if it was another day
either.
Longer.
I know, I would not want to sleep longer in the morning, an extra day.
No.
That would just kill me.
Right. Time to get back to work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you bet. Oh, I can't wait to start.
Okay. Sam, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right.
All right.
What are you doing? What are you, what
Everybody's
are you doing
got a right? smile on their face and a song in their heart this morning.
Oh, God.
It's...
What song do you have in your heart, Gordy?
I think I'm going into the other room.
Can we just play that for the first 17 minutes?
You know, we could.
Yeah, we could. We should try that sometime.
I don't think I've ever listened to it all the way through.
Oh, it's really good.
It's too long.
It is.
Actually, I kind of like it. Yeah. I heard the full version. I thought, you know, that's damn good.
That's why it was a hit.
Yeah. But the long version, and we talked about it before, the drum solo is actually a good drum solo.
It is, right.
So
maybe we'll play that over our Christmas break.
Yeah.
That would be good. It has nothing to do with Christmas. But
I think if we talk it up and say how great the song is, and then point out the great parts of that song, then people will listen harder, and it'll give us an excuse to play the whole damn thing.
Okay. I like it. Weather is looking very mild this morning.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is fantastic.
It's 41 degrees already.
What the hell is happening?
I don't know. And it's going to be even warmer later on today. Should we check the weather roulette wheel? Have we got it all dialed up and ready to go here and put the WD-40 on it, grease it up? Okay. I can see you guys are really excited about this. Afternoon high today, black 48.
Ooh.
48 today. Yes.
All right. That sounds great. You know, I'm going to step out on a limb here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say it's going to be 50. Now, you know, people can mark this down.
I'm marking it
down.
They can
check
it
all day long and see if I'm right.
Do we know how long it's going to be before we get back to normal December temperatures?
I'm looking at the futurecast here. And we're
looking
at about 14 degrees this coming Thursday.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Just what I wanted.
Right.
By the way, that's the only dip in the temperature.
What?
Yeah, then it goes up to 29, 37, 38, 40, 35, and 36.
Are we going to have another winter with no snow?
I'm I'm hoping. Because, yeah, these are chances of light snow.
On Wednesday?
On Wednesday, but right. Then it's rain.
You're telling me you want a brown Christmas, John?
Yes.
What is wrong? Why? Why would you want that?
Because he's the curmudgeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, snow sucks.
It's because you have to get out there and shovel it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, why don't you make your kids do that?
Yes.
That's what my parents make me do.
Right. Make them do whatever
I
want.
Yeah, maybe I will. You know, maybe I will do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. but yeah.
They should know how to do this. What if you sprained an ankle? You know, what if your knee goes out?
I hurt my back last winter.
See?
And my son did go out and snowblow.
Okay.
And he finally learned how to do that. It was fantastic.
Well, then you should lean on him again this year.
But, you know, there was a time. I don't know, think back now. Yeah. Just sit back in your easy chair.
Go back in time.
And sip your hot cup of Java in front of the fireplace as I tell this wonderful story.
Where's our harp music? Dreaming.
We don't have a heartwarming story.
Oh, you don't have one?
But here's the thing. There was a time when I was into cross-country skiing, and I looked forward to the snow. I loved having the snow around.
Mm-hmm.
And then my cross-country ski boot attachment broke, and that was it. It was gone.
You were dying.
I couldn't get it replaced, or didn't want to get it replaced, and I just...
That's a sad story.
Yeah. It was awful, though. Yeah. You know, when you're cross-country skiing, the point is that, you know, it should be like on flattish land.
Okay.
But if you're on a hill, it's not good. You got to go up the hill. You have to do that certain ski thing.
Yeah. You got to zigzag.
Up the hill. No, you don't zigzag.
You go like you put your skis in like a pizza
at an angle. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And then that's climbing, and then you go down. But when you're going down the hill on cross-country skis, it's not as maneuverable as the broader skis that you use for downhill skiing.
Yes.
So
have you been cross-country skiing, Gordy?
I have a couple of times.
Yeah.
That was enough. There's plenty of time. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And didn't like it.
Yeah, where'd you get your skis? Did you have skis?
I just rented them somewhere.
Oh, yeah, you rent, sure.
Yeah. I rented them from Daryl and Jackie's place up there in Barrow Boots. No longer there.
Oh.
Ski place.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Had they still been there and you gave them this publicity, people would be waiting in line to go.
Used to be a very popular place, and, you know, because it's near Devil's Head, it's near Cascade.
Yeah.
You know, it was a perfect, it was a great ski shop, but just didn't last.
But they had great ski hills.
Sure,
ski area.
All around the Baraboo Bluffs area. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I went cross country skiing, I went into Peninsula Park. That is a fantastic area for cross country skiing.
I don't know Peninsula Park. Where's that?
In Door County.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
I mean, imagine that. Hey. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get to the National Day calendar because time's a-wasting. We got to move on here.
Did
we
it?
Got a
really?
Lot.
Really? Yeah. I couldn't put it off any further?
We're going to talk to Pam Yonke in about 10 minutes.
That's right.
We're going to talk manure with her this morning, so, you know, stay tuned for that. Is it or is it not Lutefisk Day? Is it Christmas Card Day? Is it Nostalgia Day? Is it National Pastry Day? Or is it not Weary Willy Day? Which one does not belong?
I feel sorry for anybody with that Weary Willy. Been active this weekend. Huh?
So what's your guess?
Somebody had to say it. You know,
is that your guess?
I don't know. Why did I even have to say that?
Sam, apparently John is giving up. He's abstaining today.
It's not Nostalgia Day. I'm going to take that guess.
You are correct, sir.
Right.
It is not Nostalgia Day. Oh. Well, why would we need a Nostalgia Day?
So what is Weary Willy Day all
well,
about?
Well, let's go right to that. It's about clowning.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, clowns. Kids either love them or they're scared out of their minds. Weary Willy Day on December 9th recognizes the art of clowning and the impact it has on our lives.
Oh, my God.
Wow. This holiday was named for the character made famous by Emmett Kelly. You remember Emmett Kelly? He was born on this day in 1898. We're old enough to remember Emmett Kelly, right?
Oh, I'm sure. Yes.
Weary Willy was had a sad. He had a sad face.
That's his.
That was Emmett Kelly.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, he had that name.
I mean, who would have guessed we would have progressed to something like
what?
What is who? It?
Bozo the
killer,
Clown?
Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah, that's a scary movie.
Now, if you haven't seen that movie,
yeah,
I mean, you're missing it. It's a fantastic film.
Is that one of your favorite?
It's one
Christmas
of my favorite
films.
No, it's not a Christmas film.
Okay.
But it's like going to the carnival, and you'll never want to go to another carnival again.
Okay. It's Lutefisk Day. Okay. Move right along. I'm not a fan of that. Christmas card day. I think this is a day that you better get your Christmas cards in by today, or maybe they won't get wherever they're
John,
going.
John, do you and your family send Christmas cards out? You get your family all dressed up, go to get a nice picture taken?
You know, if we did send Christmas cards, they wouldn't be going out this year.
No?
What? No, I think our Christmas dinner proved that point right away.
Oh, with your family?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not doing it, huh?
Yeah, their wait and see thing, you know, after voting for Trump. Oh, we'll wait and see how that turns out.
Okay. Okay.
It's nice.
It's National Pastry Day. Let's get some pastries here.
Yes.
You know, let's move to the history book because we got Pam Jahnke, you know, in about 5 minutes. So can we open up the history
book
here? You
can open up the book.
Oh, no. Look out. Oh, Sam, run away. Oh, it's coming in here now.
Got nice and dusty over the weekend. Yeah. Gosh. Hoo-ah.
Yeah.
What do we got here?
What have we got?
December 9th. Today in 1868, the very first traffic lights were installed.
Oh, what a day that
was. In London. They took them out a month later, though, because they didn't have electricity in 1868, so they were powered by gas. There was a gas explosion in one of the lamps. Because they didn't work too well.
First stoplight exploded.
The gas lamps exploded.
Yeah.
You know, I remember seeing them explode in some horror movie.
Yeah.
You know,
really?
Taking place in London. Uh-huh, yeah, they blew up. I was wondering, what's that about? Right. And there it is.
There you go.
Historical.
All right.
What else?
I don't think we even mentioned it, but last Friday was the date that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer first aired on TV. That was like the first of the big Christmas TV specials. Well, another one debuted on this day in 1965. Charlie Brown Christmas.
That is a fantastic show.
It is. Yep. Wonderful.
I'll never forget their dance routine on stage.
I know.
They just go back and forth.
Jumping around and bopping back and forth.
But everybody had a different style of dancing. Right. It was so cool.
Yeah,
they could just duplicate that at a party. I'd love to do that.
Mm-hmm. Today in 1979, the World Health Organization declared smallpox had been eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. I think to date, the only human disease that has been eradicated, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you say so, it doesn't seem right.
Are there more? Am I wrong?
Maybe.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, we'll wait for RFK Jr. to take care of that one.
Oh, right. Yeah. He's got it. He's got it all taken care of. Yeah. He's going to get rid of every disease ever, right?
Right.
You betcha. Okay. Anything else in the history books or no? That's it.
If you want to mention it, sure. You know the John Birch Society? The infamous John Birch Society?
Big social club.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all a bunch of friends, right?
Right.
John Birch Society was founded today in 1958.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Well,
very good.
You know, definitely still around today.
Yes.
Alive and well in some of the other conservative groups that are out there.
Yep. Hey, a little bit later on in our 7 o'clock hour, we will launch our Civic Media Grown-Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Oh, boy. Where do you hear about this? And Pam Jahnke from Midwest Farm Report right around the corner.
That's right.
On John and Gordy in the Morning.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Need a new mattress? Choose Furlo over the other leading brands and save big, really big. Because, hey, nobody ever slept better for paying thousands more for basically the same mattress. Plus, with Furlo Mattress, you also get our exclusive lifetime comfort guarantee. Good for as long as you own your mattress. Comfort to comfort, dollars to dollars. Compare Furlo to the others and it's obvious. You get more bed for your buck. Wake up. Sleep better. Furlo.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Come to the Lazy Elf Lounge to cheer on the green and gold. Enjoy free Jello shots with every Green Bay touchdown. Stock up on $20 buckets of White Claw and High Noon, $15 assorted buckets of Busch Light, Miller, and Bud products, plus $4 off wing baskets when you dine in. Come for all the fun on game days at the Lazy Elf Lounge, North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook and find the full menu at LazyElfLounge.com.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
It
is 6:21. 41 degrees, listening to the drum solo from Inagata De Vita. We'll get to Pam Yonke in about another 17 minutes. Oh, no. She's on the phone right now. Good morning, Pam Yonke.
That reminds me of Bad Neighbors when I was in college.
Who played and turned that baby up for 17 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Those were the days. Yeah,
it was.
Have you learned that part of the song yet? Yeah.
But, you know, Pam, we were talking, it's probably one of the best drum solos in any of the songs that we've ever heard back in those days, you know?
Well, I guess. I can't say that I've got much of an ear for the critical parts of a drum solo. To me, it just ended up giving me a throbbing headache after so long, so I didn't really pay a lot of attention, to be honest with you guys.
I guess that you hinted at that when you said, you know, Bad Neighbors.
Yeah, all the bands had drum solos back then, even the local bands.
Oh, man.
All right, so Midwest Farm Report. Let's see, what's at the top of the agenda here today?
The top of the agenda is milk testing. That's the whole thing. It's going on nationwide, except for right here in Wisconsin. Is that right?
Well, it's nationwide, and basically what they've decided is they're going to start with six states that they want to monitor just a little closely. Now, bear in mind that a big chunk of the United States has gone unscathed from H5N1, which is the kind of acronym that's been given to the bird flu / dairy influenza that's really hit a lot of, for example, California has still got like over 250 cases within their borders. They're probably the one that everybody is monitoring most closely and paying attention to. But USDA decided that they want to try to get a little bit more their arms around what H5N1 in dairy is. It's not anything that causes any harm to humans. It's just one of those deals where after we learned what we learned during the pandemic, if we learned anything, they want to monitor it, see if anything is changing. So basically, there are five states, six states, Colorado, California, Michigan, Oregon, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, that are involved in the initial stages of testing. Now, what they're going to do is go to the milk plants and run samples just to see if there's any detection of H5N1 out there. Now, remember, H5N1 is killed when they go through the homogenization pasteurization process.
Right.
So there's no health concerns that way. But again, scientists want to dive a little deeper into, are we seeing any changes in that milk, even the little corpus delecti that are left behind after the process? Mm-hmm. Is there anything we're learning from that? So, like I said, Wisconsin, my number one point, Wisconsin has not had any H5N1 in our dairy animals at all, period. We're continuing ongoing testing of lactating milking cows that leave the state or come into the state. That's the age group they're concentrating. So we're in the clear, but I thought it was worth bringing up in case people see the headline and start wigging out and saying, wait, why weren't they talking about that? Well, now we did.
That's right. Isn't California one of the leading milk makers in the country as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep, they're number one ahead of us.
All right.
Yep. So we're watching with great interest how they manage their way through this, because again, that's one of those places where they were also emphasizing that human workers had showed signs of exposure to the bird flu, just because they were milking. Obviously, they're in pretty close. I don't know if you guys milked a cow lately, but you do have to get kind of close to her to get that task done. So
yeah, she loves being close.
if they aren't wearing protective gear, then that can turn into an issue, obviously. So.
Well, something to keep in mind, too, the RFK Jr. wants to have raw milk available in supermarkets.
Wow.
So, good thing.
Not in this regard at all. And no. I know there's a lot of advocates out there that are still battling for their opportunity to have that. But I'll tell you what, folks, this is one of those cases where sticking to science, mm-hmm. i.e., cooking your meat and pasteurizing the product that way is probably going to serve you far better than the idea of what raw milk can do for you.
That's the way to go. So, Pam, it kind of warmed up over the weekend, and it's going to be in the 40s today, and there's that certain aroma drifting across Dairyland, right?
And hello to our dairy air, and I noticed it. And it didn't really matter where you were across the state of Wisconsin. Farmers are trying to do what they can to capitalize on that beautiful warm weather and pump out the pits and make sure that all that nutrient is out there on the field. And I wanted to tell the folks that, you know, there are very, very strict guidelines as far as what farmers can and can't do with manure applications and that. There's a new app that's been developed on the UW-Madison app campus. Mm. And basically what it does is they plug it in, and it will tell the driver of the machine, whether it's a tractor or an applicator, exactly where it can and can't go. In fact, it'll make the wheel vibrate on some of the tractors and tell them, basically, you're too close, that kind of thing.
That's
the
cool.
only part that disappoints me, the only part that disappoints me, boys, is all this technology, all this information, all this guidance, and the best they could come up with was manure app. So I wholeheartedly believe that there should be a hook in a name when it comes to trying to get farmers and their partners to use it. And manure app just isn't doing it. Now, you know, crap app, could that catch on? Well, maybe the audience has a couple other ideas.
Yeah, why don't we take calls on that? All morning.
So there you go.
So this app tells the driver of the tractor or whatever exactly where the poo is supposed to go. Is that idea of the app?
It's all GPS.
Yeah.
It's all GPS. So imagine those you know, little cars that you used to drive as a kid that could go all over the place. Just imagine that the eye in the sky is telling it exactly where to go, and if it gets too close to a mud puddle, it veers away. It does the same thing for that technology in the cab. In the hand, literally, the wheel will start to vibrate if the driver gets too close
to a
sensitive area.
That's excellent. Yeah, you don't want to get too close to the edge of the fields if you're applying the
too close
manure
to. The edge
to.
Of anything, and that's, yeah, that's right. That's
yes, right. I guess you're right.
But I do think that the name just buffering terribly. I'm not pleased with the name.
You like the
so
crap
right.
app. We'll have to ask our listeners
we'll
to come
with
up
that.
With something. Pam, we are all out of time for today. We appreciate it. That's Pam Yockey.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon.
All right.
Have a great day.
Have a good week, boys.
Yep, you too.
Yep.
All right.
It's Pam Yockey from Midwest Farm Report.
And we'll talk to her again on Friday.
Yep. Back with more of John and Gordy in the morning in just a couple of minutes.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A Texas court has temporarily pushed pause with some information filing requirements due by January 1st that could have impacted a lot of Wisconsin farms. I'm PM Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. It was the Corporate Transparency Act, or CTA. It required certain businesses, including farms, to report ownership information by January 1st. But the Texas court has temporarily delayed implementing that program. Jake Parker is secretary and general counsel for the North Carolina Farm Bureau that brought the case to court. He says Congress's intent was to combat money laundering and organized crime funding, but the implementation would be very burdensome on farms and other small businesses.
The concerns a lot of farmers I heard from and even our insurance agents had about the law was the reporting requirements were so intrusive. You have to upload a photo ID. You have to provide a bunch of background information about your business, and you're essentially loading it into a government portal and trusting them to keep it safe. And in this day and age, a lot of people, unfortunately, don't have that trust in a government to do what it says sometimes.
Jake Parker, secretary and general counsel with North Carolina Farm Bureau. So for now, any of those farms that are organized as LLCs, S-Corps, or corporations are temporarily not required to file that information by January 1st. Consult with your tax advisor if you still have questions. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning looking firm. Numbers are next.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
Innovation. That's BioVet.
Freeing up your time for the holidays is at the top of our list. When you choose BioVet microbial and nutritional products to keep your livestock out of the sick pen and healthy, you'll enjoy more time with your family this holiday season. Many thanks and warm wishes from our BioVet family to yours. Learn more about how BioVet can save you time and money on your farm by calling 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Friday, the barrel cheese gained 4¾ cents to 169. The 40-pound block cheese was up 3½ at 170. Double A butter, that gained a half a cent, 254½ per pound. This morning, the corn market's quiet. Soybeans are up a penny and wheat's up a nickel. I'm PM Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today, becoming breezy by later this afternoon. Our high in the mid to upper 40s with wind southwest at 5 to 15, 15 to 25 here by this afternoon. Tonight, 26. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and colder, 30. On Wednesday, some light snow with a high of only 22. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is featured in an article in the Cap Times, and he's the host of Nightlight. Across Civic Media, Pete Schwabe will be joining us. And, of course, This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
At
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
What an idiot! Oh, what a loser!
Now listen, Gravehead. I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
You know, Grapehead is becoming very popular in the area now. 92.7 WMDX. John and Gordy in the morning.
6:35. It's 41 degrees. Highs close to 50 by later this afternoon. John Peterson has predicted they will reach 50.
50. Yes. Check your temperatures today.
Okay.
Just to make sure, you know, I'm just taking a chance on this.
Yeah, because the National Weather Service is saying 48.
Yeah, but, you know.
You think they're wrong.
I just got a feeling it'll get a little bit warmer. That's it, you know.
Coming up after 7 o'clock, we will launch our Civic Media Grown-Up Gift List Text-to-Win Contest. Wow, there are some great prizes. I'll tell you about them in a little while.
Really? You're going to wait?
They have 8 grand prizes, John.
Oh,
8.
Okay, all right.
You want me to tell you about it now?
No, I'm on the edge of my chair, jumping at the bit here.
Okay. There's all kinds of things. One of these, I know you'd like to win, but you're not eligible.
Oh.
Yeah. You're going to have a couple of robot vacuum cleaners.
Yes, you know what? I was talking about that the other day.
No. Yeah, there's also a snowblower,
yeah.
Luggage set. These are some of the grand prizes. Really big stuff. And so we'll get into that contest after 7 o'clock.
All right. Sounds fantastic. If you could.
Yes.
And I'm talking to Sam right now. If you could look up Cut 17, Steve Rattner. All you have to do is look for that, and you'll find it someplace.
Okay. Okay. We usually see him on MSNBC talking about the charts and the graphs. And
yeah, he knows everything about the economy. He's a fantastic person to convey that kind of information to everybody on the Morning Joe show, even though everybody's abandoned the show.
Since they went to Kiss the Ring.
But at least go there, at least see Steve Rattner and what he has to offer up, right?
Yes. By the way, phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app.
We want your suggestions for the app that Pam Yonke told us all about that tells farmers where to put their manure.
Right. Yes, you can send in those suggestions. We'll share them with everybody.
Yeah, it's the manure app.
Yeah. She suggested Crap App.
The
which
Crap
I thought,
App.
Pam, she's right on
good,
top
man.
Of it.
Yeah. That's really good. That's but if you have another suggestion, just feel free to text us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we could take you live on the air with this stuff. I can go out on a limb for at least the high temperature for today, I'm not going to go out on a limb.
They should have a better name for this. Come on. Somebody's got to have a better name for them. The Poo App, whatever. I don't know. What do they call it now?
The Poo App.
Pwap. Kind of sounds like it. Never mind.
All right.
Okay.
Well, hey, did you find that
cut? Oh, we already got it.
Steve Rattner?
Matt from Middleton has the poopy planner.
Hey, I like that. Poopy planner. All right. Let's put that down. Why don't we get to Steve Rattner? This is an interesting cut. He was taking a look at the real economy, the economy that no one knows about and no one remembered when they went to vote for Trump. What was the economy really like under Biden? Bidenomics, what was that all about, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it seemed like it was going pretty well, but no one thought so. In fact, the majority of people felt like the economy wasn't doing so well. I guess we got to go by feelings. Now. Yeah.
Feelings.
Yeah, the feelings.
Morris Albert thing.
So, let's find out what Steve offered up a while back to tell us about that economy.
Put this in a little historical perspective, and we're going to compare the U.S. to the other major economies of the world. And you go back to 1980, you can see the growth rates weren't all that different. But around the 2000 period, we just took off, and we left them in the dust. We've continued to leave them in the dust. And in fact, the IMF last week came out with new projections that show that our growth is going to accelerate even more relative to these other countries. And let me also, though, since we are going to have an election next week, do a scorecard here on the last two presidents. Donald Trump thinks this economy is in the toilet. In fact, under Joe Biden, it grew faster than it did under Donald Trump. 3.1% average GDP growth under Biden, 2.8% under Trump, and this corrects for all the COVID things. That these are straight down the middle of the fairway numbers. And then you can see that that growth, in fact, has turned into a much stronger economic performance for average Americans. GDP per capita is a way to think about standard of living. Not perfect measure, but it's directionally right. You can see that we generate $74,000 of GDP per person, and that has doubled over this period of time. And then you can, and no other country has come close to that. 54,000, 54,000, 46,000. And so from 1983 to 2023, we doubled this. And we are, again, as you said earlier, the envy of the world when it comes to the standard of living that Americans have.
Well, all right. Well, that's the way it was. We'll see now. Of course, you know, as soon as he won the election, Trump declared everything much better now. It feels better.
For him, under him.
Yeah.
But he hasn't taken office yet.
See, the thing that I don't get is this talk about, you know, the feeling of the country. People didn't think it was. How do we appeal to that? And, you know, it's not a real thing. It's what you feel. Instead of reality, you're going by your feelings about what somebody else said about the economy.
Yes. Well, and, you know, and according to a report I heard over the weekend here, if job creation continues on its current trajectory through January, Joe Biden will be the first president under whom the economy has added jobs every single month he was in office.
Wow.
The first president ever to have jobs added every single month he was in office.
We can throw that out the window. Okay, let's just throw that one out the window.
Really?
Cut 14 Daily Show.
Yeah.
Peacetime President. Look for that because I never got a chance to play this, but they put together an accumulated list of times when Trump said he was going to be the peacetime president. Okay.
And
so let's check that out. Do we have
this
that?
Is an old one. It's taking me a second to
No, that's fine. I thought you
had Sam wake. I think Sam dozed off there for a second.
No,
he was sleeping.
This is a month and a half old, John.
It's Monday.
We got it. We got it.
Okay.
You know what we'll get with Donald Trump? A largely peaceful, stable world.
We are going to blow your largest cities and the country itself to smithereens.
He is going to get us out of these endless wars.
We have to bomb the hell out of them.
Peace throughout the world.
I'm going to bomb the shit out of them.
In fact, he's an anti-war guy.
Should we declare war?
I think so. Why not?
President Trump brought historic peace to the entire world. He brought peace to the Middle East.
Yes. President Trump ordering the U.S. to, quote, drop the mother of all bombs in Afghanistan.
Peace
a
time.
Stable peace plan that was working and no one was dying.
Civilian deaths increased 330%.
We had peace from Kim Jong-un.
The president also threatened a war with nuclear North Korea, tweeting, I too have a nuclear button.
When he talks about war, he talks about it the way any moral person should.
When you get these terrorists, you have to take out their families.
And we know from his own presidency that it was a peacetime presidency.
There was a raid in Yemen that Donald Trump approved. One American was killed.
He actually has a realistic and cautious foreign policy.
In all caps, the president tweeting, at President Rouhani, never, ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before.
We are not the policemen of the world.
Trump floated the idea of launching missiles into Mexico.
How many wars?
Zero. None. Zip.
Four U.S. soldiers killed 12 days ago in Niger.
And if you're voting for Donald Trump, you're voting for peace and stability.
Yes. Former President Trump is reportedly planning to send kill teams to the border if reelected.
Peace and stability goes hand in hand with President Donald Trump.
Yes. President Trump suggested on multiple occasions disrupting the storms by dropping a nuke into the middle of them.
That's perfect.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Well, peacetime and peace weather time.
Peacetime president. Yep. A
few contradictions right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Who knows what's going to happen now? I guess it's just a wait and see thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wait and see. That's it. That's the mantra.
That's the mantra here on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seeing some texts here. One says, careful, John, you might hurt the feelings of the folks who voted for Trump for bringing facts to bear. Yeah, you don't want to bring up facts.
No,
truth. And
I think we should just go by feelings.
Feelings.
You know, and, yeah. Our impressions. of the economy. Honestly, you know, there's this debate in the Democratic side of the aisle, and they're trying to think, well, how do we counter the feelings that people have about the economy? What do we say to change their feelings about it? Well, how about the facts? Oh, no, you can't give people facts.
Don't go there.
No, you don't want to do that, because that, their eyes just glaze over.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And we talked to Mike McCabe about that, too.
Right.
And he also says, you know, you can't give them the facts because they feel a certain way. And it's their impressions. It's how they feel about the economy. And we're talking individually, how they feel individually about the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't sit there and summarize it and say, well, you should feel this way, because then it's condescending and talking down to them.
Right. Yeah, when you just throw out nothing but facts, and, you know,
their eyes glaze over. They don't
exactly
care. They don't care.
Doesn't register.
Right. Or that's from a different source, like the news media, which no one can believe anymore. So they go to the alternative news media, which for some reason they do want to believe.
Right.
Which isn't factual at all. My head is spinning. I can't do this anymore.
Come on, you can do it.
What? All right. Let's get it. You know, we were talking about milk, right?
Yes.
And being tested for the bird flu. I've got a little story here. You can't make this up either.
Okay.
RFK Jr.'s favorite brand of raw milk had been suspended from manufacturing
because
they found the bird flu in it.
Okay.
Yes. That's right.
Because it was not
pasteurized. Right.
It doesn't go through the process.
In his favorite milk.
That's kind of why they have pasteurization, to get rid of that kind of stuff.
So will the stupidity ever end? I didn't mention that. It's kind of an older story, but
I saw a screenshot of a Reddit thread a while back. There's a subreddit dedicated to like raw milk and like quote unquote whole foods sort of stuff, where you take things straight from nature or whatever. And these people were talking about how they accidentally rediscovered pasteurization. They were like, you guys, we can get rid of like any bacteria in the milk if you just heat it up until it starts to simmer, and then you cool it back down.
Yes.
And then it's safe to drink. And they had no idea that this is what pasteurization was.
They just think
you learn something
new
every day.
They just think we do it for the heck of it.
Right.
It's the same thing, you know, with getting rid of a lot of the government regulations, you know, or the government departments, for that matter.
Yeah,
they act like
they don't
just
need them.
We just created them because we wanted bigger government.
Yeah.
No, there was a need for that department. There was a need for that rule or regulation. We don't just make it up to make it more complicated, although when they do make up the rules, they do kind of make them complicated. But that's not the point. The point is that the government grows as the economy grows, as businesses grow.
And
as
the population.
As new things come into the economy grows, and then we have to add to it and kind of maneuver a little bit with our government. Right now they think, well, none of that's necessary. If we could just cut everything back and let everybody just do what they want to do.
Yeah, well, Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, that's what they're going to do with their new Department of Efficiency.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the Department of Efficiency. They need two people to do this.
That's it. And, just the two of them.
It's not even that. They're hiring extra people to help them out on this thing.
Ah,
so this thing is like runaway. Right, we're gonna be talking about this in about a year, and it's, oh man, can you imagine how much money they ended up spending? Oh my goodness!
Well, they're billionaires. You know, they're all, you know, six or eight of the cabinet proposed people are billionaires. So
that's
true. They don't think about the money.
No, well, they
there's
don't.
Plenty of money.
They don't
do these things.
You know, Vivek, he wasn't a big fan of Elon.
No.
No. And I've got that coming up in just a moment.
Really?
I know that we got to take a break here, but he went on a rant. Well, we've got a compilation of comments from Vivek.
Oh, good.
About Elon.
Yeah, and Elon and Trump may have had a little tiff over in Paris, France. Did you see this?
No.
Oh,
no.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They don't know what it's about yet, but apparently they had some words.
Well, it's probably, you know, Elon
like,
wanted to be president himself.
Right. 6:49, back with more of John and Gordy in just a moment or two.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Comfort Pro Insulators in Little Suamico takes this moment to remember all of our fallen heroes, the brave men and women of the United States Armed Forces, their sacrifice and enduring commitment. To all those who gave their last full measure of devotion for our liberty, our values, and our democracy, we thank you, we remember you, and we honor you. This message comes to you from Comfort Pro Insulators in Little Suamico. That's Comfort Pro Insulators in Little Suamico. They have been serving the community since 1997, and they're saluting those who make our country stronger.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Before a new Democratic governor takes office in January and it loses its supermajority, the GOP-controlled North Carolina legislature used a hurricane relief bill to strip power from the governor and attorney general. The draconian changes hinge on a pending veto override vote in the state house. The bare-knuckle bill was short on hurricane relief and long on keeping power out of the hands of Democrats. Earlier this year, a 2023 bill attempting to strip the power of the governor to appoint county election boards was struck down by the state's Court of Appeals. Now, Senate Bill 382 tries to remove that power by shifting it to the incoming state auditor, a Republican. In his veto message, current Governor Roy Cooper called the bill a sham and unconstitutional, and Democrats have declared it an outrageous power grab. The bill also includes a proposed constitutional amendment requiring voter ID for mail-in ballots and bans the Attorney General from opposing the legislature in court. The state Senate voted December 2nd to override Cooper's veto, and the House vote is pending. North Carolina Newsline reports that it's unclear whether Republicans have the vote in the House to override, with three House GOP lawmakers unhappy with the inadequate hurricane relief funding having voted against the original bill. We have the text of the bill and great local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning, and we're talking about how great a relationship it is with Vivek and Elon.
And you like to just be a fly on the wall while they're talking,
yeah,
you know, and see what the
knowing, of course, what they used to say about each other, but yeah. Vivek telling everybody what he used to think of Elon. So
really,
why don't we check that out?
Okay,
all right.
I think Tesla is increasingly beholden to China. I have no reason to think Elon won't jump like a circus monkey when Xi Jinping calls in the hour of need.
Elon Musk has, I think, demonstrated his willingness to change his political tunes based on the favors that he gets to be able to do business in China.
I think some of his recent comments about Taiwan suggest as much, where he says that Taiwan should become a special administrative region of China, annexed to China. Well, guess what? He got a nice attaboy on the back, a little pat on the back when his Shanghai factory and regulator in China gave him a nice little tax break within days after him having made that comment about Taiwan.
Tesla's popular in a different way here because of the cult around Elon, but actually is effectively beholden to China in a different way. I was a little concerned watching Elon Musk's, Shanghai, what they call Master Plan 3, is literally what their name of it was for production of a bunch of the mega pack batteries that are designed to eventually power an electric grid in Shanghai. I think Tesla is increasingly beholden to China. I have no reason to think Elon won't jump like a circus monkey when Xi Jinping calls in the hour of need.
Isn't he sweet? Isn't he just a sweet
man? Nice
guy. He really, I'm a big fan, huge fan of Elon. Yeah. All right.
They're getting along fine now.
Well, I'm thinking by now they've at least, patched things up, right?
Ironed out their differences.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. This was probably one of the funniest moments. This happened last week. This is fantastic stuff. Yeah. Fox News is just out with this breaking news. Brace for it, because this is some real bombshell stuff here. So this is cut 37.
Okay.
And this actually happened, and you can't make this stuff up. Play it.
Well, now to this. Hunter Biden spotted for the first time since his controversial pardon, seen smiling. Why not? Got away with something else in his life, right?
There he is, screen left right there.
Insane. Listen to this.
Lucas Tomlinson's at the White House with the latest. Hey, Lucas.
Good morning, Ainsley. Where do you go when you receive a presidential pardon? Well, Arby's, of course. We just have this new video into Fox showing Hunter Biden, as you mentioned, smiling after receiving that presidential pardon from his father, which wasn't just for the tax and gun charge, but, of course, the 11-year period he's off. And there you can see, smiling after leaving the Arby's in Santa Barbara.
He went to an Arby's and he was smiling.
The president's son knows where to go to celebrate. You know, Arby's is probably the place, expensive place to go.
They got the meats. So he was smiling. He was hungry.
Just to see it, though. I mean, they had pictures of him smiling. He can't smile.
Of course they do.
My God.
Yeah, it's so surprising. Both of you just about fell off your chairs when he said that.
Yeah. Oh, man. What the heck?
Oh, my goodness.
How could he smile over something like that? Mm-hmm. You know, he's not supposed to smile, at least not for the next year.
Right.
All right. Not on camera,
anyway. Cool.
All right. So why don't we get into something a little crazy here? This was a hearing in regards to the assassination attempt in Butler, and it didn't go well because a Republican was grilling this guy, and he was actually the Secret Service director.
Okay.
And he was grilling him, and he'd used 9/11 for some reason. Let's play this.
Actually, let me address this. Could you please, staff, leave that one up with the circle around me. Thank you. So actually, Congressman, what you're not seeing is the sack of the detail out of the picture's view. And that is the day where we remember the more than 3,000 people that have died on 9/11. I actually responded to Ground Zero.
Wow.
I was there going through the ashes of the World Trade Center.
What a man.
I was there at Fresh Kills.
I'm not asking you that. I'm asking
you, Congressman, were you the
special agent in charge?
To show respect
for
a Secret Service member that died on 9/11.
Oh, that you're trying to be.
Do not invoke 9/11 for political purposes.
I'm invoking this.
You are, sir.
Gentlemen. I would like to ask him a question.
Please. You are out of line, Congressman.
Don't try to bully me. I'm an elected member of Congress, and I'm asking you a serious question, and you are playing politics.
I am a public servant who has served this nation, and
you won't answer the question
on our day, on our country's darkest day.
The committee will come to order.
I'm
asking you serious questions for the American people, and they're very simple. They're not trick questions. Were you the special agent in charge that day?
No, I wasn't. I was there representing
Mr.
the
Chairman,
United States Secret Service, sir.
Mr. Fallon, your time has expired.
It did not affect protective operations.
You know why you were there? Because you wanted to be visible, because you are auditioning for this job.
I was there to pay respect for a fallen member of this agency.
You endangered President
Biden, Congressman.
Vice President Harris's life because you put those agents out of position.
Mr. Chairman.
Did you have a radio with you?
Mr. Fallon, your time has expired. Mr.
I did, sir, and you are out of line.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Take a sedative.
Nice, guys. Wasn't that
Those are the kind of hearings we're going to be getting in the next 4 years, by the way.
Can't wait.
Because, you know, the Republicans, when they do these questions, they actually have the answers themselves. They don't really need the witness there to answer these questions. They're going to fill it in and give the answers they want. And that's what happened there with 9/11. Mm-hmm. My God. Jeez. Take it easy.
Yes, time to take a break. Take a chill break, guys.
All right.
Okay. Coming up.
Will do.
Right around the corner, we'll launch the grown-up gift list text to win contest from Civic Media on the John and Gordy Show.
John Gordy Show. A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation. 92.7 WMDX. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dr. Kristen Lierley, who will address all our health needs to make us more efficient TV watchers. Then Nightlight will really go up in smoke when I welcome Rose Bauman from Legacy Cigars.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.